Evening. Thank you once again for allowing me to come before you and do the best that I can with what the Lord has given me to bring forth a message that he has laid upon my heart. If you would, please turn to Jeremiah chapter 9. We'll begin tonight in Jeremiah chapter 9. And the title for my message this evening is Words of Wisdom. Now, 15 years ago, if you'd have come to me and said that phrase, words of wisdom, an example of what might have gone through my mind at that moment would have been possibly a young man, just a regular Joe, climbing up the side of a steep cliff, hanging onto the rocks and stuff. Wind blowing around him, maybe even a little snow or sleet involved in it. And then he'd come up over the top of that, the edge of that cliff, and sitting there be this old, wise man. Somebody maybe with a long beard, you know, and the wind be blowing all around the young man, but no, the wind be just perfectly still on this wise old man sitting there cross-legged on top of that mountain. And this young man, this young Joe, he looks at the old guy and he says, "What's the meaning of life?" And the old guy looks at him with this real stern look. He pulls out a potato chip and he says, "You can't eat just one." Now, I got to be honest with you, I said that because I wanted to bring a little humor, but there's something more important in that little story that I just gave you. Obviously, you can't take that story seriously, but there's a certain irony to it. Mankind has come a long, long way in developing and discovering new things as I have been alive on this earth, new ways of dealing with things, new medications, new technology, the technology that we share with my brother Lee and Shirley, who love to hear the gospel but have not been able to find a place to hear it locally. So what do? They love it so much they sit on the phone and listen to it preach because this is the only place they know of right now they can hear it. That's awesome technology, folks. Awesome technology. We're going to broadcast from this pulpit to the nursery. I know we've been doing that for a long time via wires and stuff, but that's awesome technology. These are things that we have developed. Most humans would say we have discovered. Brother Mike brought a devotional not too long, well, actually it was quite some time ago, I believe, on this very subject of the wisdom of man. And we look at all the wonderful things that we've accomplished in just our own lifetime alone. We can replace the human heart. Imagine that. They can cut you open, take your heart out, put somebody else's heart in there, and you can keep on walking. Or even better than that, they put a little insert in you, and they go inside with tubes and move stuff around, and they can put little springs inside your tubes that go from your heart and open them up. That's amazing. We even left our own atmosphere and walked on the moon. We've put eyes on other planets, such as Mars, in the form of robots. We've mapped something called a genome. And I'm not sure what that is, but I hear it's pretty important. It has something to do with the way our molecular stuff is made, the way our bodies are made. But so small this thing is. But with all this advancement, can we really call it wisdom if the foundation is not based on truth? Let me give you an example, and I've given this before, some of you may have heard this. How long have we gone through our life thinking that it takes thousands and thousands and thousands of years for a fossil to be made? Science says, oh yeah, there's just no possible way. Yet here some time ago, Mount St. Helens exploded, and 5 years, 5 years afterwards, scientists said, oops, it don't take thousands of years to make a fossil. Something has to do with the chemicals, things that the Lord has made for some reason, to make a fossil even quicker than that. How about we take the foundation of the universe, for example. Our wise men of the world declare that there was a big bang, a big old huge explosion, and that somehow or another, we humans evolved from whatever came out of that explosion. And I'm not even going to bother getting into the complicated explanations for it, but monkeys? Really? Does anybody still believe that, by the way? You know, I don't know of anybody who believes we came from monkeys anymore, but they still teach it. They still teach it in the school. I think we actually come from fish, an amoeba, a fish, then a monkey, somehow or another. I don't know. The wise men of this world have come up with that conclusion in some way or another. But God declares something different. God declares in Genesis that He created the heavens and the earth and all things therein in 6 days. He declares that He created man on that sixth day. And on the seventh day, He rested. You see, the real problem is that man does not want to believe what God says. The unregenerate person would rather believe their own imagination than truth about anything. In our own imagination, we believe that we have accomplished certain wisdom just by our own will, by growing in knowledge. I'm smarter today than I was yesterday. I know a little more than I did before. How often do we hear the phrase that we are so much more sophisticated today than they were back in the 1980s? Or the 1800s or anywhere back. We're so much more civilized than the days of the Indians and cowboys out on the plains. We're so much more civilized than the early settlers of England back in the old knights in shining armor days. We take pride in all that we have accomplished. We take the pride in all that we have accomplished over the years that man has been here on the Lord's earth. This is the way we are born. We're dead to the spiritual things. We're dead to the truth. We glory in what we have, ignoring He who is Lord over all, the one who supplies all needs to all things. The rain falls on the tares as well as the wheat. Are you with me in Jeremiah 9? Look at verse 23 if you would please. Jeremiah 9, verse 23. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this. And hear this well, folks. Read this very carefully. Let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth, for in these things I delight, saith the Lord. See, the only thing for us to glory in is our understanding and our knowledge of who the Lord Jesus is. And even that, excuse me, even that is a gift from Him. Amen. We've read this over, and this is one of my favorite parts of the scriptures where the Lord asks Simon Peter, who do you say that I am? And he says, why, thou art the Son of the living God. What does our Lord say back to him? He says, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this, but my Father in heaven. The wisdom of flesh and blood had nothing to do with your knowledge of who the Lord Jesus is. The Father in heaven has everything to do with it. 1 Corinthians 4:7, it says, "For who maketh thee to differ from another, and what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory if thou hast not received it?" You see, the scripture here says, "Let us glory in this, that he or us understandeth and knoweth me, that we knoweth the Lord. We know of his loving mercy for his elect, his chosen people, and all those that were given to him by the Father before the world was, and all whose names are written in the book of life." Why? Because he has revealed it to us, as he said, "Blessed art thou, Simon." The book of life right here, the book of life, the book about Jesus Christ. For life, for Jesus Christ is life. Outside of Christ, there is no life. We understand his judgments. His judgments are perfect. He's God. Can God be anything less than perfect? We understood that he stood in our place, that we are not perfect and deserve nothing but his wrath, but yet that he stood in our place and took the judgment that we deserve. The Lord Jesus Christ, God in human flesh, came down from heaven, walked perfectly, abiding the law of God to the T. Every mark was made. Nothing was left undone. And then he went to the cross and suffered the penalty and the sin for his people so they wouldn't have to. The blood of God was shed for his elect at Calvary. He has shown us, his people, his love for us by establishing a perfect righteousness for us. We have none of our own. We don't deserve any, yet he did for us because he loves us. We are washed clean, perfectly, in his blood. We stand in his righteousness. Our sins are remembered no more. This is not the wisdom of the world, though, is it? No, the world would stand there and say, "Well, what about me? What about me? Look what I have done. What about me?" Scriptures say, "You are as grass that withers away." Well, what about what I have done? What about all the good things that I've done in my life? Scriptures say the things that you have done are like filthy rags. Well, wait a minute, I'm not that bad of a person. I don't lie as much as George does over there. You go over there, he'll tell you all kinds of lies. Scriptures say there are none. None good, not one. Well, what about my good? What about all the things that I've done in my life? Don't they merit something? I didn't beat my wife. I didn't kill anybody. Scriptures say that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Would you turn over to 1 Corinthians, please? Before you tonight stands a man who has very little education. Tonight is music and testimony night. Let me give you my testimony for just a moment. I have no education. I quit school at a young age and ran away from home, came back, went back to school for a short time, and then was asked to leave. Unlike many who stand from the pulpits, and I don't hold anything against them, I don't mean this to be anything against them, but I share this with you to show my worthiness, for I have none. Pastor Gene and I were talking about a group of people who didn't want him to be here anymore because he wasn't educated enough. I'm an unlearned man. And I'm not here to share with you my wisdom. I'm here to declare, I'm here to share with you the wisdom of God. If you're not in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have no hope. Period. The wisdom of this world might make you more comfortable while you're here, but the day of death for this body is coming, and the wisdom of that world stops right there. some young person, I don't even know if it was a male or female, chose to try to cross the freeway one morning this week, dressed in dark clothing. Their wisdom stopped right there. I'll be honest with you, it wasn't much wisdom to try to cross a freeway in the middle of commuting hours. But I just thought as I drove by that body all mangled and tangled up, the end of the world came right there for that young person. But to those who have eyes to see and ears to hear and hearts to believe, those who are given life, awakened by the Almighty God, Christ is our wisdom. Pastor Joe Terrell wrote an article I want to share with you. Brother Mike posted it on the internet for me and I pulled it off of there. I was very thankful that he wasn't going to use it in his message next week, because this goes so well with my message tonight. Pastor Taylor writes, if God has called not many wise, then why does it seem that so many preachers design their messages to appeal to the wise? Is it not the height of foolishness to preach with such wisdom that those for whom the gospel was intended cannot understand it? But note how God explains his gospel. While men write volumes to explain salvation, God says, look unto me. While men seek to expound the gospel with high-sounding words and phrases, God speaks with one-syllable words like come, and seek, and flee. The most complicated word that God uses in telling us how to gain salvation is believe. One of the greatest glories of the gospel is its simplicity. Therefore, let us always seek to declare the gospel in the simple words and simple sentences. Those few words that you just heard there him speak about what God uses, there's more wisdom in those words than anything we can find in the scientists of this world. Well, let's see if I can put the gospel, the good news, in the simplest way that I possibly can. All mankind are sinners and deserve the wrath of God. God the Father gave God the Son a people before the world was. God the Father humbled himself and became a man, the Son of God. God the Son, Christ Jesus, walked perfectly, establishing a righteousness for those people, for his chosen people. God the Son went to the cross to bear those sins of all of his elect. God the Son arose from the dead and ascended into heaven, justifying all whom he has loved from everlasting to everlasting. God the Son sits on his throne, ruling over all things, working all things out according to his will. God the Son sends out his Spirit, the Spirit of God, to call his lost sheep, revealing himself to them in scriptures. This gospel is the word all true preachers must preach every time they stand before the people. It is what saves. You don't get saved by hearing a lie. God doesn't do anything by using lies. He might use them to turn people away from him eventually, but you have to come to the truth to know who he is. It's what he uses to feed his sheep. You know, Pastor Gene and I were also talking, another part about what we were talking about here before service started, is you can have a head knowledge of scriptures. You can know who the Lord is. I happen to know somebody who speaks all the words that we speak. He says all the right things according to the gospel that we say, but yet I don't see him sitting under the gospel preaching of Jesus Christ and him crucified. Why? Why is it some people just don't have that desire? Is it because maybe it's not in their heart? I don't know. My heart says I got to hear it all the time. I was telling them, I can be away for a week. Thank God that we have computers today that I can go on and hear somebody preach. Kathy and I sat in our last time down on the beach. We sat on the beach with a laptop in our laps listening to Henry Meehan preach a sermon. I couldn't be here with Gene at the time to hear him preach. I had to have something. It's a heart thing. It's what feeds his sheep. It's what he was telling Peter to go out and do when he said, "Feed my sheep." We heard that in Pastor Gene's message this morning. Even Paul knew that, as we can see here in verse 17 of chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians, if you're there with me. Oh, wait a minute. I'm not there yet. Hold up. I'm getting there. There we go. Verse 17, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel." And now catch the next words, "not with wisdom." Now listen here. We all know a little bit about Paul. Paul was a very wise man of the world at the time. He was very religious. He knew all the things that they were supposed to do, all the ceremonies. He even went out with letters from the high priest giving him permission to chastise, beat, I think even kill, right? Did he have the permission to kill also? The Jews that followed Jesus, the Christians. So Paul was not a foolish man. He was not an unlearned man. But yet here he says, "I did not come to you with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of non effect. For the preaching of the Christ is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." It wasn't Paul's wisdom that brought the people to Christ, and Paul knew this. The simple man that Paul was at that time, after the Lord had made him blind for several days, showed him who he was. Paul came out away from that, realizing the foolishness that he had known before. He called it rubbish. Actually, he called it another word. Paul knew that the wisdom of the word that he was speaking was the wisdom of God, and that's the wisdom that was being used. The wisdom of the cross, of Christ being crucified on that cross. "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." With God as our substitute, we are assured that the sin debt is paid. Those that perish say, "There must be something I can do." Those that are saved say, "All has been done." Words of wisdom? How about this for words of wisdom? "There is now no condemnation to those that are in Christ." We see that in Romans 8:1. Here's some more wisdom. God's people have to have been redeemed. Paid for by the blood of his darling son, we see in Galatians 3:13. God's people have been sanctified, set apart from the vessels of wrath that were made for destruction, 2 Timothy 2:21. Oh, we sing the song, "Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me." Verse 19, "For it was written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring nothing the understanding of the prudent." "For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." The word of God must be preached in simple form. How can I stand before you tonight? Not by anything of mine. I stand before you with God's word in my hand, bringing you God's word. Because that's the only wisdom I have. Yet you will not hear that word unless the Lord comes and makes it effectual in your heart. Pastor Gene read from in his message this morning in John chapter 10, 26. You don't need to turn there. "But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall either man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Let's finish out this chapter, and then I'll try to bring this to a close. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and the things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, the things which are not to bring to naught things that are. Why? Why has God done this? Why has God made the foolish things of the world wise to him? Why has he made his wisdom foolish to the world? Verse 29, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Oh, how quick we are to glory what we have accomplished in our life. It'd be pretty easy for me to do that, coming from where I came from. Being someone who never graduated high school, 3 years from now, the Lord has blessed me with the fact that my house will be paid for. That's quite an accomplishment. Thank you, Lord. Pastor Gene, you know, that thank you that you gave to the Lord in your testimony about being married. Thank you to the Lord that we accomplished that. Kathy and I can say the same thing. Oh, how often we've had reasons to leave each other. A lot of our friends around us have. A lot of people we know just up. My best friend has been married 4 times. It blows my mind. I don't understand that at all. But why have Kathy and I stayed together? Thank you, Lord, by the blessings of the Lord. But of him, in verse 30, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. We would glory in our own wisdom if we were allowed. In fact, we did until the Lord opened our eyes to the truth of what we are and who he is. Remember in our opening verses in Jeremiah, but let him that glorieth, let him glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. With all the hubbub that's going on in our world around us today, the desecration of what our founding fathers found so much, so important to our country, I have peace. Why? Because I know who the Lord is. And I know his loving kindness will be towards me. And no matter where this country goes, no matter how far down the path of unrighteousness it goes, no matter how far the desecration to the peoples that we are in this country, a marriage of two men, of two women, that's foolishness, and it doesn't even bother me anymore. No, it does. Lord willing, help me not to let it bother me. But I can turn to the Lord and say, I know that you have control over all things, and this is where you want me. With all the violence and the fighting that's going on in the world around me, I have peace. Why? Because I know who's in charge. Let me bring this to a close with some more words of wisdom. All things are for my good. Romans 8:28. If God be for me, who can be against me? Romans 8:31. Nothing can separate me from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus my Lord. Romans 8:35 through 39. I pray that you too will have the wisdom of our Lord Jesus revealed unto you. I know it only happens one way, and that's through the preaching of the truth in His gospel. The Lord Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Amen.
Thank you.